Morning. Today's Daf Baba Basra is Kuf Chaf Dalet. I'm just going to start off with a great mnemonic. I'm going to help you remember for hopefully for a very long time. Today's Daf and what it's discussing. It's discussing Pishnayim. We're talking about the double portion that's going to the Bechor. That's the main part of today's discussion. It is today's discussion. Just in terms of a mnemonic. So today's Daf is Kuf Chaf Dalet. It's 124. So just think how every number just kind of doubles. One doubles to two. Two doubles to four. So if you want to know where Pishnayim is discussed in Baba Basra, so okay. So you have now your mnemonic. You're going to remember. But yeah, one, two, four.
Stretch.
It's okay. All mnemonics are a little bit of a stretch.
Right.
Okay. Something we've been saying for a long time, but today really it's going to be a lot of analysis on this topic, is that the Torah entitles the Bechor to get Pishtaim and get two. Yesterday we talked about the formula for how you arrive at the number two, meaning it's two times what? So we entertained yesterday in the Gemara that maybe it's two times the rest of the brothers in terms of the entire estate. So the brother will get two-thirds of the oldest brother get two-thirds of the estate, and all the other brothers are just going to get a third. That was an entertainment of yesterday, but the Gemara rejects that, and the Gemara concludes, no, it's two times what all the other brothers are getting, meaning what every one of the other brothers are getting. So if all the other brothers are getting X, so he's going to get, the Bechor is going to get 2X. That was yesterday's discussion. And then the Gemara yesterday transitioned into a lot of Agadata. So we talked about how Reuven was the Bechor, but Reuven lost the Bechor. He forfeited the Bechor. It was given over to Yosef. The questions we asked yesterday, why did it go from Reuven to Yosef? Why didn't it go from Reuven to the next brother, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, etc., etc.? That was all part of yesterday's Gemara. We are now on Kuf Chaf Gimel Med Beis, 123b. We are Tana Rabbanan, so a little bit more than halfway down the Amud. It's the second to last narrow line of the Amud. So the Braisa is going to begin. Before we begin the Braisa, again, this is something that we've repeated again and again. It bears repeating because really it's the focus of today's daf. The Bechor gets Pishnayim. It gets Pishnayim only of current holdings. If there are any receivables that are coming into the estate after the death of the father, so that the Bechor does not get Pishnayim. He will get a portion of it, like all the other brothers will get a portion of it, but he will not get Pishnayim of the receivables. That's why we've been saying that again and again. It's based on the Pasuk. Pasuk and Chumash gives us a pretty good indication of this halacha of Pishnayim. If the Gemara wouldn't have told me that, would have I discovered it on my own? I don't know. Probably not. But the it's the beginning of Parshas Ki Tzetzeh. The Torah says, their man has two wives. One he likes, the other one he doesn't like. We discussed already yesterday. How would the Torah say that? Why would the Torah say that? Anyway, and he had sons through both wives. Now happens to be that the oldest son comes from the wife that he does not like. So, when you are giving over your estate to your sons, so you should not show any type of favoritism to the son of the one you like over the son the one you do not like. It's really remarkable, by the way, that the Torah over here, when constructing the halacha of Pishnayim of the Bechor, gives us a model that's extraordinarily similar to Yaakov, Leah, Rachel. Like, it's mamish, it's really exactly that construct. Anyway, the Torah goes on to say, and this is the pasuk that we're focusing on, Ki Yatzeh Bechor Ben Asnua Yakir, but rather you got to give it to your Bechor. You got to give the double portion to your Bechor. Lasa Slo Pishnayim, twice the amount. Bechol Asher Yimatzeh Lo. Yeah, the Torah says it pretty clearly that anything that is currently held by the estate. But if there's any receivable coming into the estate, so that is not going to be. That is not going to go to the Bechor as Pishnayim, but that will just simply be equitably divided amongst the brothers, oldest included. Okay. With all that stated,
he goes more to that money in the bank is not it's a receivable, it's not a.
Right, because they don't hold the money. In other words, they owe you the money. They owe you the money, but they're not necessarily holding the money. Okay.
Make sure you don't.
Right. Okay. It's a big deal. It changes a lot of things. Okay,
yeah.
The With all that stated, what are we going to be discussing today? Over the course of today, what we're going to be discussing is that, and as I mentioned yesterday, it's a lot of accounting talk. If you like accounting, you'll love today's daf. And that is, the Gemara is going to be discussing, is there any kind of flexibility within this halacha of receivables? Meaning, we've stated, we keep saying it, and it's just a truism that the Bechor does not get Pishnayim of the receivables. But is there any kind of fluidity or flexibility within this definition of receivables? Meaning, let's say it's a receivable, but I don't have to do anything to get this receivable. It's going to come on its own. It's Mimela. So can we now say that even though the estate doesn't currently hold it, but you know, it's not like that far off. It's not like I have to put somebody through collections. Okay, so stay tuned because that's really going to be our discussion over the course of today. We're going to learn later this morning. It's Machlokas Tanaim, in terms of is there any flexibility in what's considered receivable? We'll learn later this morning that Machlokas amongst the Amoraim in terms of who to pasuk like. Okay. Well, lot to cover.
How about a salary?
Rentals. Okay. Let's say your property has rentals.
Right.
Okay, I bring that up because I know that's being discussed. Okay, Tanu Rabbanan HaBechor Nota Bishnayim. So what is the Bechor going to receive? So the Bryce over here is going to be giving a list of things which are seemingly receivables. So obviously, we can't call them receivables because the Bechor is going to get Bishnayim of it. So obviously, we're painting the corners over here. This is the edge of what is considered a non-receivable, but rather a current holding. So, Bechor Notel Pishtayim Bezroel L'chai V'keva. So, he's going to get the Pishtayim of the Matnos Kuhuna. And specifically, we're talking here about the Matnos Kuhuna of Zroel L'chai V'keva, just as a brief introduction, brief background. Every animal that Shecht is so, Cohen gets his portion. We know there are 24 Matanos Kuhuna, 24 different types of gifts that are given to the Cohen. We most of the time speak about Truma, Bikurim. Okay, those are the more popular ones. The ones that are not discussed so much, although quite frankly, it's much more common, is that for every animal that you shecht, every single animal that you shecht, a portion of the animal needs to go to a kohen. That is the zrawa, the front leg of the animal, lechaye, the cheek of the animal, like the lower jaw of the animal, and the keva. Keva is the fourth stomach of the animal. Ruminating animals have four stomachs, so this is the fourth stomach of the animal. This needs to go to a kohen. This is given to the kohen. It is a slightly different than other types of Matnos Kuhuna. You don't necessarily have a concept of tevel when it comes to Zroel L'chai V'keva. But again, our purpose right now in discussing this is not so much to learn the halachas of Zroel L'chai V'keva, but rather to learn in the context of what is considered receivable versus what's considered holding. What it sounds like the Bryce is saying is that, look, the Kohen is going to get his. He's going to get Zroel L'chai V'keva. So if he dies, his son now can collect it, and his oldest son can collect Pishnayim, a double portion of Zroel L'chai V'keva. Certainly sounds like a receivable, doesn't sound like a current holding. Please stay tuned. The Gemara later on is going to ask that very question.
Why are the sons not getting it on their... Because of that, they're acquiring themselves. Why
right.
Get through the father?
Correct. Meaning, right, they're just... The first case that's in the Brisa, agreed. The first case in the Brisa is strange, by no question about it. And that has to be contextualized, and we're going to do that later. The Gemara is going to contextualize the case over here so that we understand it a lot better. At this point in time, it's really difficult to understand.
What are you talking about? Like the father has more than one.
Again, we have to
contextualize.
We're going to do it. We're going to contextualize it. I'm telling you. I saw the Gemara. Uve Mugdashim, Beshevach Sheshavchu Nechasim Lachem Mitzvos Aviyim. And Uve Mugdashim, and the same thing is true regarding Hektish as well, meaning if the fathers do Hektish, so, and the father dies, so the sons are going to now divide the Hektish, and the Bechor is going to get Pishnayim. Again, it needs more discussion, it needs a little more amplification. What is it talking about? We're going to come to that as well. And then, I treat this as the same case. It's two different cases. B'shevach sheshavchu nechasam la'achar mitzvos aviyam. And if there's any appreciation, any appreciation that occurs after the death of the father, that appreciation is going to be divided, and the Bechor is going to get Pishnayim of appreciation, even though the appreciation is post-mortem. Okay, Ketzad. We need examples. Let's say, for example, the father had an animal as part of his assets, and the animal is rented out. So now we're talking about getting a rental fee. Sorry. Oshaisa robe for vialda, or let's say the animal was out in the grazing, and the animal gave birth. That's certainly an appreciation. That's a significant appreciation. Now it's one animal turning into two animals. So of that, b'chor notal pishnam, the b'chor is going to get two times that amount. Okay. So clearly, there's a lot of details to discuss in this b'risa. But before we get to the details, clearly. Well, let me first finish the brisa, and then I'll make the more general point. But if you build houses or if you plant a vineyard, obviously we're discussing over here after the death of the father, meaning the estate has not yet been divided. But we know what the estate is, and then on the estate property we actually build an estate. We build a house on the property, or we plant a vineyard after the father died. So that clearly is considered ra'ui. That is considered a future that is not a current holding, and the Brisa says that no question, any b'chor no tol pishnayim, the b'chor doesn't receive a double portion.
Who's paying for it?
Right. You're asking the absolute correct question, and that's going to become essential to this entire discussion. Stay tuned. What is very clear from this Brisa is that the Brisa over here is clearly favoring the b'chor and the pishnayim, and clearly loosening the definition of what is considered a current holding versus what is considered a receivable. Meaning, consider, what did the b'risa tell us? Meaning, the cases of the Zerol Chai v'Keva, I'll hold off on that because the Gemara is going to discuss that in just a moment. But we're talking about your rental. Okay? In other words, you're renting out a cow. Renting out a cow, so clearly that is not a current holding, meaning that the person who's renting the cow is going to be paying rent, and the rent is coming at a later point in time. Right? Fair to say, let's say there are properties that are rentals. So, right, that rental money that's coming, that's obviously something that needs to be collected. That is not a current holding. So clearly, the Bryce over here is working with the assumption that there is a looser definition of what is considered a current holding versus what's considered receivable. And when I say looser definition, I mean in favor of the Bechor. The Bechor now is going to be receiving not Pishnayim of just everything that is absolutely here right now, currently held by the estate, but if there are receivables that are, I'll call them right now, a little more automatic. That's right. It's a pretty good way to view it. If it's a receivable that's an automatic, so that is considered. This Bryce is of the opinion that that's considered a holding, a muchzak, and not something which is roy, and therefore the b'chor is going to get pishnayim.
You're taking everything on a accrual basis.
Okay, we spoke about this yesterday. You tried to explain this to me yesterday. Now, there's a lot of things to discuss in this brisa, so let's start off. The Gemara starts off with the details, and then the Gemara discusses more of the larger conceptualization. So, hi, Zerol Chai V'Keva Hechidami. So, like I said, the Gemara is going to now contextualize the case of Zerol Chai V'Keva. What's exactly going on over here? Idas Ilei Avon Pshita. So, if the father already collected it, so then there's nothing to discuss. I don't need a brisa. Father already collected Zerol Chai V'Keva. Again, the father was a Kohen. He already collected Zerol Chai V'Keva. Then the father dies. So is it a current holding? Yes, he collected already. And in fact, it's not even open for discussion. What's it? Huh? Of course, that's Pasha. So the Gemara says, V'idoloas ilia de'avon raihu. V'ena b'chor nota b'raike b'mochsak. And if the father didn't collect it, there's no better definition of a receivable than manos kahuna. Manos kahuna needs to be collected. You don't own the manos kahuna. Now you have a certain right to the manos kahuna, but you don't own it. And he needs to give it to you. Prior to him giving it to you, it's not yours. I can't think of a better definition of a collectible than manos kahuna. So the Gemara says, so I don't even understand the case of Zerol Chai V'Keva. It's really difficult to understand. Hacha b'makire kahuna askinan. So the Gemara says, the case goes like this. It's a very specific scenario and really limited in application. But we're talking about makire kahuna. There's a clear relationship between the owner of the animal and the kohen. And in fact, it's almost as if the Kohen's expecting where, oh, you know what? My Yisrael, right, my guy. My Yisrael right now is shechting his animal, and every time he comes over to me, he presents to me Zerol Chai V'Keva, meaning we have this kind of very close relationship. So basically, it's like money in the bank, or in this case, a fourth stomach in the bank. And right. We have to look for the correct terminology. I agree with you. Now it was shechted while the father was still alive. So in other words, so it was already shechted, and they have such a tight relationship That it's considered as if it's already here. The Rashbam, I'm quoting the words of the Rashbam. So the Rashbam actually makes a connection, a blood relationship. I don't know if the Rashbam is saying that super specifically, but you understand. Meaning that's my cousin. Meaning that you can have a Kohen and a non-Kohen being cousins. See, you can have a Kohen and not Kohen being brothers, but okay. So the Rashbam says, "Shel Kohen Zeh umezakin lo zikah u'gamor b'manos behemtam yad kishenishchudu kodem shehufreshu min habehema." Meaning that this relationship is so close, it's so long-standing that when the owner of the animal shechs the animal, it's as if it's like, okay, Zro l'chai v'keva goes to my Kohen. Now, Ude Ashri Bechayavon, the animal was shechted in the lifetime of the father. The next Rashbam he writes, Udami Kamanda Asuli Adai Bitav Laihu. And it's Ki'ilu, it's been handed over already. Meaning the relationship between the owner and the Kohen is so strong that the moment that the owner shechts the animal, it's Ki'ilu, the Nesina was given already. And it works. And it's no longer considered a collectible. It's considered collected. As if it's already been collected. Okay. That is the first case of the Brice of Zerul Chai Vekeva. Next case of the Brice the Gemara is going to discuss. I'm sorry, I left off a line of the Gemara, the Kasavar, and the Gemara says, then we're of the position that Manu Shalohumar Kibishur Madami, that Matanus that were not separated, that were not earmarked, the owner of the animal didn't actually put aside Zerul Chai Vekeva, but the, when he shechted it, it's viewed as if it's already put aside for the Kohen. Okay, next.
It's only for once.
Right, it's only in this very limited scenario.
Not the same, but only one case. Because the father died after. This is the case where he shechted before the father was still alive.
Right.
Right, so once the father dies, that's it.
Right, but in other words...
He would have given it to the animal, right?
Correct. So, Mugdashim Lavdi Deinenu. So the Gemara says, the second case of the Brisa was Mugdashim. The Gemara says, what are we even talking about? Mugdashim doesn't belong to the Kohen. The Kohen has a right to eat it, but what kind of ownership discussion are we having? So the Gemara says, B'kachim Kalim Valiba Derev Yosei Galili. The Gemara says, in the world of Kachim, there is a scenario in which Kohanim have ownership over Karbanos, specifically Kachim Kalim, like Shlamim, and specifically according to the Shita of Rav Yossi HaGlili. The Amar Mamun Balam Hu, Rav Yossi HaGlili says that is considered money of the owner, meaning it's ownership money. And the Gemara quotes the Brisa, and the Brisa says very clearly that according to Rav Yossi HaGlili, when a Kohen is given Shlam and meat, it's not like he just has rights to eat it, it's his. He has ownership over it. And so therefore, in the event that he dies, so now this Kachim meat, the shlam and meat is now going to go to his children, and the bechor is going to get pishnayim. Okay. Hiniach le'maviyam paro mucheret ha'muskeres bi'adachem v'shayis ha'roa be'efa v'yalda bechor nota pishnayim. I'm sorry. V'yalda, I made the same mistake again. I put the comma in the wrong place. V'yalda bechor nota ba pishnayim. Great. Rental. Animal of the father has been rented out. So therefore, there is a rental income. That rental income is considered collected. The Bechor is going to get Pishnayim of the rental income. So the Gemara says, Hashtem Uchkeres and Muzkeres Salah Bereshusei Damari Didhu Kaima Amar Shako Ro Be'efer Mibaye. Now there are two cases mentioned at the end of this brisa. One is the rental. Two is where the animal is grazing on our property, and this is after dad died, and the animal gave birth. That's also considered Muchzak. It's not considered Rai. The Gemara says, once we have these two examples, like, which one do you think is, if we know one, we're going to certainly know the other. The Gemara says, it pretty much goes without saying, that if I know about the case of the rental, I certainly know about the case of the birth of the new animal. Consider, says the Gemara, in the case of the rental, the animal is not on our property. Somebody else is holding the animal. Now, the animal is going to be returned to us because it's our animal, but he's renting out the animal. And we're saying that rental fee is considered collected, it's considered muhsak, it's not considered roi. The Gemara says, once I know that is a case of muhsak, so the case where the animal is on our property, animal was pregnant before death, died, and now the animal is giving birth to a baby, that for sure is considered mochzak in the context of this brisa. So the Gemara is asking exactly that question. So how come? I'm sorry. The Amar Shakel Roa Beifer Mibaye. So the Gemara says, "Hakamashmalan de mechkeres and mechkeres dumia de roa be'efer." So the Gemara over here says that, lo, the Braisa actually put these two cases side by side in order to teach us a very basic principle regarding, at least according to this Braisa, what is considered collective versus what's considered receivable. The Gemara says, or a future, I should say, meaning sometimes I'll say the word receivable, but in this context, really future, meaning post mortem of the father. The Gemara says, consider. Look, in the case where the animal was grazing on our property and the animal had a baby, what did we, the members of the estate, need to do in order for that to happen? Nothing. What kind of expenditure do we need? Now, I'll say right now, because the Gemara says it, nothing. Okay, I understand you can make an argument that the animal's pregnant, the animal needs a little more food, but the point is that the animal's grazing on the land. So the truth of the matter is that we are not actually giving any more feed to the animal when the animal is about to have the baby. So therefore, the estate did nothing and lost nothing. According to the Braisa, that's an extraordinarily important detail in terms of defining what is considered right versus what's considered mochsak. If it's so automatic and there's no loss of expenditure on the part of the estate, then and only then is that considered mochsak, is that not considered right. If, however, the estate needs to put money into something, so that is not considered, that's not considered mochsak, that's mochsak, that's considered roi. And the Gemara says, now we're on the top of today's daf, kuf chav dalet, af mukheres umuskeres, shvacha de mimela ka'asi de lochasra mezona. Same thing with the rental. Meaning, what kind of money do we need to put in? Nothing. Meaning, who's feeding the animal right now? The renter's feeding the animal. We're not feeding the animal. And so therefore, since the renter's feeding the animal, that is considered, in our discussion, mukhzak, not roi. But once there becomes a moment in time where, in order for the gain to realize, we need to put expenditure into it in order for the gain to realize, so then it's not considered mukhzak, it's considered roi. That's an important detail within this braisa. Okay, now, after all said and done, we've now successfully navigated through the braisa. A number of cases in the braisa were a little bit strange, kachim, manus kahuna, but we've navigated through the braisa. And as I pointed out before, I'll say it again now, as we are going to be taking more of a broad view of the braisa, and that is clearly this braisa is looser in its definition of what is considered mochsak. Meaning the money doesn't actually have to be here, as long as the money's coming, as long as I don't have to do anything, make any type of expenditure, that's also considered mochsak as well. The braisa over here is, use the term, pro-bechor. Okay. There's no agendas in the Braisa. It's just that what comes out from this Braisa is that the Braisa is giving us a wider definition of what's considered mochsak, money. Who is the author of the Braisa? Rebbe He. The Gemara says the author of the Braisa is Rebbe. D'tanya Nazareth, as we're going to see, there is a machlokus amongst Tanayim in terms of what kind of definition we have regarding mochsak. A very narrow, literal definition of, in order for something to be mochsak, it has to be here, it has to be a holding that the estate is currently holding, or as we'll see, according to Rebbe, it's a little bit of a looser definition. As long as it's coming, and it's automatic, and there's no expenditure on the estate, that's also considered mochsak, and this is our basic machlokus between Rebbe and the Chachamim. D'tanya, the Gemara quotes the Braisa, we are on line number 3 of Kuf Chav Dalet. Ein b'chor notzal pishnayim b'shevach sheshavchun nechatsum lachem mitzvos aviyem. The b'chor does not get the double portion of any appreciation of the estate after the death of the father. Okay, so clearly you see, according to the Tanna Kamma, we have a very, very narrow definition. It's not even a narrow definition, meaning nothing. Even though the appreciation occurred, even if the appreciation was automatic, according to the Chachamim, there is not going to be any consideration of including something else as a holding if it wasn't there at the time of the death of the father. Now, even according to the Chachamim, later this morning, we're gonna give a scenario in which, even according to the Chachamim, it's considered mukhsak, even though it's not currently here. So even according to the Chachamim, I'm putting them as a very hardline position, a very rigid position of what is considered mukhsak versus what's considered roi. Later this morning, even according to the Chachamim, we'll have a little bit of flexibility. But But according to Shitas Chachamim, appreciation is not considered mochzak. It's considered roi. Therefore, that appreciation is going to divide it equitably, and the bechor is not going to get pishnayim. Rabbi Omer Omer Ani bechor noto pishnayim b'shevach sheshavchun nechasim lachar mitzvah zaviyam. According to Rabbi, appreciation that is coming after the death of the father is considered muchzak. It's considered like a current holding. And therefore, the Bechor is going to get pishtaim in that. But once the estate has to do something in order to gain that appreciation, once they have to work, once they need to put some sort of expenditure in order to gain that appreciation, that, even according to Rabbi, is considered ra'i. That's not considered muchzak, and therefore the Bechor does not get pishtaim of that. Yarshu shtar chov b'chor notel pishnayim. If you inherit a note, so an account receivable, but an account receivable that's papered, that's documented. So yarshu shtar chov b'chor notel pishnayim. So the author of the Brice is of the opinion that that is considered a holding, and therefore, like the example gave earlier, like a bond, and so therefore the b'chor is going to get pishnayim of that. Yatzalem shtar chov. Something which probably we did not consider until this moment in time. Now, if you are going to be getting double income, what does that mean in terms of your liability of any payables? The Braisa says that much like the Bechor has the benefit of the double portion on the receivables, he also has the liability of the double portion on the payables. So, yeah, I know. Right? Thought about that? The truth of the matter is, I'm sure at one point in time I realized it, but Gemara says it. Yatz aleim shtar chov, if there is an account against the estate, so Bechor knows no sein pishnayim. So the Bechor now has the double portion obligation to pay. V'imamar inen osem inen otel rashai. Now, can the Bechor at that point in time say opt out? Yeah. Look, I understand double benefit, double liability. You know what? Don't give me the double benefit, don't give me the double liability. I, of course, am responsible like all the other brothers, but I want to opt out of the second portion. So the Braisa says he may do so. He has the right to opt out of that second portion. Okay. An important Rashbam over here, let's see it inside. The Rashbam, the Gemara just taught us that if you have an account receivable and it is... It wasn't collected by the father, but it will be collected by the estate. So that's considered muchzak, and the Gemara says, and as a result of that, the Bechor is going to get pishnayim. The Rashbam writes, Yarshu shtar chov, hainu milva b'shtar. So the Rashbam writes very clearly that we're talking over here about documented loan. Bechor notel pishnayim dechevin demuchzak b'shtar al pi hashtar govenes amilva hareu ki ilu hashtar hishbiach. So the way to look at it is this: basically, this is just simply the materialization of the document, meaning the paper itself. The way we say it here in our society, it materialized, it realized. But the paper itself is so significant, it's as if it's considered a holding. And it's automatic. Now the Rashbam notes over here, the Chachamim wouldn't agree with that. Meaning, because remember, the Chachamim fundamentally give a very limited and rigid definition of what is considered a holding. So even though the note does give me a shibud in order so that I can collect that money, but when all said and done, it's not money. It provides me a lien against that obligation, but it's not money. So the Rashbam points out, and the Gemara is going to say it also. So we'll see it clearer than the Gemara. According to the Chachamim would not agree at this point. And the Gemara later on will tell us that the note considered, being considered a holding versus a receivable, is going according to Rebbe, not according to the Chachamim. V'davka milva b'shtar. The Rashbam writes, even within Rebbe, we're only talking about documented loans. But let's say it was a verbal loan. And let's even go one step further. It was a verbal loan done in front of witnesses. That, according to Rebbe, is still not considered a holding. That is considered a collectible. Because consider what could happen. You don't have paperwork. It's not documented. You don't have a lien. All you have is just simply a promise by, hopefully, what is going to be a very nice borrower that he's going to pay you back, but that's all you got. And the Rashbam points out that he could just simply deny it. And it'd be unfortunate, and it'd be that obviously would be not to your favor. But if he denied it, well, we know the halacha is that a denial of a oral loan is legitimate. Or he could say, I paid you already. Because we know the halacha is, we've seen this already a number of times, that when you borrow money with witnesses, but it's undocumented, so the repayment of it does not have to be done in front of witnesses, and therefore, he could just simply claim I pay you back already. This is not automatic, and according to Rebbe, in order for it to be something to be considered a muchzak, it has to be something which is an automatic. This is not an automatic.
When can he retract, and when can he say I don't want it? Before he knows the situation, or after he knows that that's the, you know, when can the bechor say, look?
Oh, you mean in terms of the payables?
No, you know what I'm saying? What can he say, I don't want it? Before he knows the situation, before the...
I know,
afterwards, I could see it.
Right, agreed. Agreed. I assume he could do it at any point in time. I assume so. Okay. My Tamayu de Rabbanan. We're back to the Gemara. We are right in the middle of Kuch of Dalam and Aleph. So we've just learned together that the basic definition, a basic machlokes between the Chachamim and Rabbi, in terms of what is the definition of Muchzak. The Chachamim are extraordinarily rigid. They say that Muchzak is only current holdings, and that's it. Even if I have a receivable, and even if it's really going to come, a rental fee, a loan document, it doesn't matter. That is not considered Muchzak, that's considered Ra'i. And meanwhile, according to Rebbe, as long as it's automatic and as long as you don't have to put any kind of expenditure in terms of collection, so that is also considered Muchzak as well. The Gemara now explores a drushes for each of their positions. My time out, Rabbanan Amakar Lasislo, Pishnayim. So the Torah says that you're going to give the verb lasates from the same verb as matana, as nasina. Lasislo Pishnayim, matana kuri rachmana. What does the Torah call the Pishnayim, the double portion of the Bechor? The Torah calls it a matana. Ma matana adamachila yadeaf, chelik Bechora adamachila day. Look, the nature of a gift. In other words, can I call something a gift before I receive it? Meaning, it's no, you can't. It's not. That's not a matana. Meaning, even though I know somebody wants to give me a gift, but when is it really defined as a gift? Once he gifts it to me. Same thing over here. When the father dies, and now you are gifting the Bechor's Pishnayim, only thing that are considered gifts are considered money in the bank. Although, as Phil pointed out earlier, that's a terrible analogy, because money in the bank might be considered a Ra'i, not a Muchzak. So let's not use the analogy of money. I won't use the cliche of money in the bank, but rather money that's actually being held by the estate. Okay, the Rebbe Omer Omakra Pishnayim. So, and Rebbe will tell you, no. My position is that we're going to be more expansive in the definition of Muchzak. Why? Because consider, what does the Torah describe the double portion given to the Bechor? Pishnayim. Mekish Chelek Bechor Lechelek Pashut. Meaning, what is the Bechor getting? He's getting not only a share in the estate, but a share and a second share. And what the Torah is telling us is that the first share and the second share are to be equated through the power of Hekesh. Ma chelek pashut afagav de la matel yade, af chelek bechor afagav de la matel yade. So just like the his pashut portion of the estate is coming to him, both holdings and futures as well, so too, the same thing is true regarding his Pishnayim. His Pishnayim is also going to include not just current holdings, but also receivables. Admittedly, limited in that it's got to be something which is automatic, but receivables as well. Now, according to the Chachamim, what are they going to do with the Pishnayim? Drasha, the Hekesh that we just learned together. So, Ha'ula Mitzvah Le Achad Mitzvah. So, the Chachamim will tell you like this. Let's give an example where dad dies and he left in the state, and there are three parcels of land, and he left two sons, and one's a Bechor and the other's a Pasha. So under those circumstances, what the Chachamim will tell you is as follows. Look, we're going to take the three lands, then we're going to divide it. Two lands are going to go to the Bechor, and one land is going to go to the Pasha. What the Pasha cannot say, the second son cannot say to the oldest son is, look, I want the two extremities, and you'll take the middle land. cannot do that. But rather, what the Bechor is entitled to receive is two contiguous parcels of land. Now, granted, by the way, there are a number of other factors to take into consideration. The quality of the land. Right now, there's much more to explore over here. But for our purpose over here, what do the Chachamim do with the Pishnayim? This is what they do with it. Is that when the Bechor gets his Pishnayim, it's expected and assumed that he's going to be entitled to contiguous properties. Now, according to Rebbe, what is he going to do with the Pasuk Laseilo? The Nesina, Haushi Mamar, and Inotav, and no sin Rashai. What Rebbe will do with that pasuk is tell us exactly what we learned earlier. That if the Bechor says, I would like to forfeit my Pishnayim, he has the right to do so. Why? Because the Torah calls it a gift. And you don't have to receive a gift. A gift from the perspective of the recipient is strictly optional. Somebody says to me, I'd like to give you a gift. You could say, no, thank you. In fact, Gemara says a number of places throughout Shas, you should say no thank you. Right? So in the Matanas Yichya, the Pasuk of Mishlei. But in other words, the Bechor can say no thank you. And that's what Rebbe learns from the word Lases. Amara Papa. Okay, I mentioned before, and now we're seeing the Gemara here inside, together, and that is that as we have now gone through the Machlokas between Rebbe and the Chachamim, vis-a-vis what is considered a receivable, what's considered a current holding, vis-a-vis the Bechor, the Gemara now is going to be discussing, is there any room of flexibility according to the Chachamim? The Gemara is going to teach us, yes there is. Amara Papa Diklava Alim. Let's say there was a tree as part of the estate, and after Dad dies, the tree just got a little bit thicker. Oh, so now we're talking about appreciation, and we're talking about appreciation and post-mortem. But over here, what are we really talking about? The growth and thickness of a tree, even according to the Chachamim, that is, so, it's literally natural. Meaning that's what trees do. And the appreciation over here is not a new entity. It's not even a separate entity. It's part and parcel of the tree. So here, according to Rapapa, Dikla v'alem ara v'asik sirton dekulam lo pligi deshako. There the Bechor is going to get Pishnayim according to everybody, even according to the Chacham. No subject for debate. The second example, I didn't translate it. The second example is you have land and it became more fertile. Anyway, it's just whatever. A rainstorm came, whatever. The ground just got more fertile. So once again, these are types of appreciations where it's not even open for a debate. Even the Chachamim will tell you, Bechor is going to get Pishnayim. Ki pligi, so the Gemara says, where are we arguing about? Bechafura v'havashuvle. Let's say it was grass and then it matured into straw. Okay, so it's now not just, it didn't just grow, but the nature of it also changed. Another example, shlufafi v'avitamare. Let's say they were buds when Dad died, and now they're dates. So again, it's more than just growth. It's growth and qualitative difference. Here now you have a debate between the Chachamim and Rebbe. According to the Chachamim, this is considered appreciation. It is not considered part of the original state. Therefore, the Bechor is not going to get Pishnayim. According to Rebbe, no. I didn't do anything in order to arrive at this appreciation. Okay. It happened mimela.
Are you saying that the appreciation is spontaneous, or is everybody contributing to Pishnayim?
Right, that's an important point. Meaning, once everyone needs to make a contribution in order for it to grow, even Rebbe will tell you that that's not considered muhsak. Right. And the Gemara says, "V'avtamar deman savar shivcha dememelo mar savar ishtane." So the Rebbe will tell you that that was automatic, and the Chachamim will tell you, "No, shinui." No, in other words, it underwent a qualitative change, and therefore it is not considered part of the original state, and therefore the Bechor is going to receive a portion, but only a portion, not a double portion. Okay. So in Amud Aleph today, we spent a lot of time navigating through what is considered right, what's considered machzak, machlokas between Rebbe and the Chachamim. Like I said earlier, Rebbe is pro Bechor. He will allow more to go to the Bechor, appreciation, account receivables that are documented, a number of baby being born to the calf being born to the mother. So a number of things that according to Rebbe is considered now subject to machzak, subject to pishnayim. And now questions very simple. We have a machlokas. Who do we follow? Like go Gemara now discusses. You know, funny discussion of the Gemara. You'll see. Amar Rabba Bar Bechana Amar Rabbi Chia Asa Kedivir Rabbi Asa Kedivir Chachamim Asa. So the Gemara says, well, if you're a Rav and you're paskening, so if you pasken like Rabbi, okay, and if you pasken like the Chachamim, well, okay. Meaning that in terms of Klalei Apsak, we generally follow one of the two positions, but in this particular case, the Gemara says Elu Ve'elu. Right, the Rav has seemingly an option. I don't want to say that loosely. I'm not sure if that's an accurate way to depict the statement of Rabbi Chiya. But basically, in either event, here there is no absolute psak, at least according to Rabbi Chiya. Continuing the Gemara, Misafka lei yalachikar Rabbi mechaverav v'lo mechaverav, o alachikar Rabbi mechaverav v'afilu mechaverav. Why is Rabbi Chiya basically allowing the Rav to decide or to determine? Because here's what we know. We know that when Rabbi has a debate against a colleague, so halacha ki Rabbi mechaveiro. If he's having a debate with just a colleague, then the halacha sides with Rabbi. But over here, it's not just a colleague. Rabbi is debating the chachamim, meaning it is a majority position that is arguing with Rabbi. And so we know the rule is halacha ki Rabbi mechaveiro. What about mechaveirov? What if he's arguing with colleagues? So the Gemara says that's what Rabbi Chiya is unclear about. In terms of the Klalei Apsak, do we go like Rabbi? Do we go like the Chachamim? Gemara says that's what Rabbi Chiya is unsure about. And therefore, the Rav, it'd be nice if he had a Masorah in terms of what to do, but if he didn't, and he learns the Sugya and he arrives at a conclusion, so either way, either conclusion, and even in terms of the Psak, would be acceptable. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Asal Asos Kedivir Rabbi. The Gemara quotes other Amarayim, however, who take a much stronger position, and the Gemara quotes Rav Nachman in the name of Rav, which is Asal Asos Kedivir Rabbi. No, you're not allowed to conduct yourself like Rabbi. It is a perversion of justice. I'm borrowing the Rashbam's language over here. I'm not trying to be strong in my language. It is a perversion of justice if you follow like Rebbe in this regard. Rather, the more rigid definition of Roy versus Muchzak, like the Chachamim, is in fact the Psak that you should follow. In fact, Rav Nachman has a Masara given to him by Rav, which is that the halacha falls like Rebbe, but only when he's arguing with a singular colleague. Rav Nachman, didei amar mutal asos kediver Rebbe. Now, that was Rav Nachman quoting Rav. Rav Nachman himself says that mutal asos kediver Rebbe, that one is allowed to follow the opinion of Rebbe. Kasavar halacha ki Rebbe mechaverov, afilu mechaverov. And Rav Nachman's of the opinion that when Rebbe's arguing, so we side with Rebbe, both when he's arguing with a colleague or when he's arguing with colleagues as well. Amar Rava. Now the girsa over here, it's kind of important what the correct girsa is over here. We have the word aser. The Bach citing the Rashbam says that the girsa over here should be mutter. Huh. Okay, I know that's important. That's important. It's a big difference. Amar Rava also asos kedivir Rabbi v'imasa asui kasavar matin. So the Gemara says that according to Rava, it's. Depending on which gear you follow, let's go with the Rashbam. The Rashbam says, Amar Rava, Kerebi, Aha Hilchasalo Samchina, Ella Hilchasa de Rav Papa, Du Basra, Lakama Mishmaitan. This Rashbam notes, I didn't mean to read this Rashbam now, that we're going to see Rav Papa later on, and that's going to be the halacha, because he is Basra. He's the one who. Right, took all the information in, processed all the information, and arrived at a conclusion. Okay, that's coming up in tomorrow's daf. Fine. Anyway, matanit. It's the next Rashbam I wanted to read. Kach nemar bebeis hamedrash matan esedin acher divrei chachamim ladun kein lechatchila. We're inclined to go like the chachamim. Right, the inclination of a posek should be on this matter to follow like the chachamim. Umiyu yavik kerebi avin. However, if you go to Rav and he passes like Rebbe, well, matan over here means that we're inclined to follow the Chachamim, but if you're going to follow Rebbe, so that's, you know, it's acceptable. V'achim efreshin l'chol matan itmar shebigmar v'achim amin abayajib b'maseches k'suvus. And you're going to see that expression used throughout Shas, the word matin. The Rashbam says that's what it means. It means that we're inclined to follow a particular position, but lo yitzu, that you follow the other position, it's acceptable. Okay. the Itmar. Back to the Gemara, Tani Rav Nachman b'Shar Sifrei de Beirav. So Rav Nachman taught using Shar Sifrei de Beirav, the other Sfarim of Rav. What does that mean? What's that making a reference to? Once again, I lean on the Rashbam. Shar Sifrei de Beirav, Sifra de Beirav, Hainu, Tarvus Kohanim. We're talking about Medrash Halacha. Medrash Halacha is Tarvus Kohanim. That's a Sifra. Brisa.
He also has his own log of halacha that he wrote down.
Yes, yes. The Rashma over here does not explain it that way, but yes, I know, I understand what you're referencing. Brisa shall say for Vayikra, Shar Sifrei de Bei Rav, Kari Lamidra shall say for Bamidbar, Mivishachum and Amachana at Sofa Sefer, Elo Hadvarim. And so now, if Sifrei de Bei Rav is Sifra, meaning Torah's Kohanim, the Medrash shall say for Vayikra, Shar Sifrei de Bei Rav is a reference to the other Medrash Halacha, which is a Medrash on Sfarim, Bamidbar, and Devarim. Also, the Rashbam notes that what we call the Mechilta is the Medrash Halacha on Sefer Shmos. That also falls under this category of Shar Sifrei de Bei Rav, meaning the magnum opus Medrash Halacha is Sifra, meaning Vayikra, because that's where you find the book of the Mitzvot of the Torah. There are mitzvahs in Sefer Shmos, there are mitzvahs in Sefer Bamidbar, there are mitzvahs also in Sefer Dvarim as well. Shar Sifrei de Bei Rav. Okay. Back to the Gemara. So, Itmar Tani Rav Nachman Shar Sifrei de Bei Rav. B'chol Asher Yimatzah Lo Prat L'Shevach She'Ishbichu Yorshin Lachem Mitzvot Aviyam. Appreciation is not included in Pishnayim. Aval Shevach She'Shavchu Nechatzin Lachem Mitzvot Aviyam Shakel. So, I'm sorry. Appreciation that was created by the estate is not included. But appreciation that happens automatically is included in Pishnaim. Money, who's the author of this statement? Rebbe He. Right, that's the opinion of Rebbe. Tani Rami Bar Chama Bishar Sifrei de Bei Rav B'chol Asher Yimatzah Lo Prat L'Shevach She'Shavchu Nechatzin Lachem Mitzvot Aviyam. V'kol Shekein Shevach She'Ishbichu Yorshin Lachem Mitzvot Aviyam D'lo Shakel. In this Braisa, we're saying that any appreciation, both that which was actively created or even that which was passively created, all appreciation is not going to go to the Bechor, meaning he's not going to receive the double portion of money, Rabban, and he. The way this price is being presented, that's clearly going like the Chachamah. I'm Rav Yehuda, I'm Rav Shmuel, in Bechor, no topishnayim b'milveh. A Bechor does not get a double portion of the loan. The Gemara says, Leman. What are we talking about? Ilim, Rabban, and Hashem, Shiv, Chadisa, Birshusei, I'm Rabban, lo shakim, milveh, mibai. Look, according to the Chachamim, that's a no-brainer. Even when I have the estate itself, any appreciation in the estate is not considered muhsak, and the Bechor is not going to receive that. And you want to now tell me, you know, according to the Chachamim, same thing is true regarding a milva, an outstanding receivable, of course that's not considered muhsak. It goes without saying. El Rebbe, the Gemara says, I must be addressing Rebbe. The Gemara says, Ve'la hadetanya, yarshu sharcho Bechor no topishnayim, bein milva, bein beribis. So the Gemara says, yeah, but consider that we already learned together, and the Gemara here quotes another Braisa that according to Rebbe, a documented loan is considered a collected item, as long as it's documented, is considered a collected item, and as a result of that, the Bechor is going to get Pishnayim. And not only is he going to get Pishnayim on the principal, also on the interest as well. Now, we know that interest is prohibited, but only Jew to Jew. Jew to non-Jew, interest is permitted. So probably, the Gemara over here is talking about interest to a non-Jew. Mani lo Rebbe v'lo Rabbanan. So the Gemara says, lo olam Rabbanan. So the Gemara says, really, the truth of the matter is that the statement that was made previously is going like the Chacham v'itzrech. And the Gemara says, and I'll tell you what the Chiddush is. Sa'akadat chamina milva kevin denaki shtar kamandi gaviyadam kamash malan. Look, here's the argument you could have made. Yes, according to the Chachamim, any future appreciation is not considered mochsak. And even if it's automatic, it's not considered mochsak. But I might have thought that according to the Chachamim, a documented loan, I have a shibud, I have a lien on that receivable. And so you could make the argument that according to the Chachamim, even though they're extremely rigid in their definition, what's considered mochsak, but I might have thought that according to the Chachamim, a documented loan that has a shibud is considered mochsak. That's the Havamina. And the Gemara says, but the Maskan is no, that according to the Chachamim, that's exactly what the point the Brisa wanted to teach us, is that a shibud is not considered even a shibud is not considered muksak vis-a-vis the halachas of Pishnayim. Let's quickly recap. what we saw today. Okay, basic machlokas we saw today in terms of a limited or expansive definition of what is considered kol asher yimatzei lo. The Torah awards the bechor pishnayim, the double portion, only on a current, not on a future. Okay, and it leads us to the basic discussion that we had over the course of today, and that is the bechor, when he receives pishnayim on kol asher yimatzei, does that include appreciation that happens automatically? A receivable that is uncollected but is documented, right? An animal that gave birth after the death of the father. So in all these cases, Rebbe will tell you, they're all considered muchzak. And therefore, the bechor gets pishtayim. The chachamim say no. Even according to the shita, the chachamim, we learned at the bottom of the Amud Aleph, that if, let's say, the tree grows in size, that's automatic appreciation, and there's no qualitative difference between the new growth and the old. According to the chachamim, that would be collected as pishtayim. But short of that, any other appreciation which is qualitatively different is not going to go to the Bechor's Pishnayim in terms of the halacha who to follow like. So the Gemara, we haven't seen the end of the discussion yet. The Rashbam already foreshadowed that Rav Papa on tomorrow's daf is going to give us a very clear halacha in terms of whether we follow like Rebbe, whether we follow like the Chachamim. So that's coming up tomorrow. Okay.